This week we're going to be talking about the Samsung Galaxy S event that was held in New York City. We went there and visited it.
We'll also be talking about the PSN Plus.
And we're also going to be talking about Hulu Plus. So we'll start off with Samsung.
Samsung. It was a heck of an event.
It was a great
This
event.
is the first event of this type that we went to.
Yeah.
Like, they had little sub-events inside PAX East that were like this.
Yeah.
It was like they had set up a nightclub inside a warehouse
Yeah.
to show off a special thing.
Oh yeah, dude. I actually like because I got a
The
film
whole
where
trip.
we were coming up.
It's industrial elevator shit. Like,
Yeah.
watch your hands, you will lose an arm.
Yeah.
And then we get up there, and they open it, it's like, tss, and there's all, like, stars on the wall, and they're handing you 4 gig sticks.
Yeah, press kits.
Press kits on 4 gig sticks.
Yeah, it was good times. No, it was nice. And then they had like everything on display. They did their little, speech, and then they said, "Okay, now you can, have your way with phones." And we saw the four versions that are coming out to the U.S. So you have the Captivate, Fascinate, Epic, and Vibrant, the four phones.
I like that they have weirdo names, but what the heck? What do you know about this? The Epic's a cool name for a phone,
Yeah, Epic
but
is cool.
the Fascinate, like, say, I don't know. I like the Envy, right? The Envy was good. Fascinate and Captivate is like, I don't even want to use it.
I think that they were trying to do that whole like, Super AMOLED thing. At least
Yeah.
the three of them. Vibrant, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Fascinate, I can see. Captivate, I can see. But then Epic, they were just like, all of those are all about the screen, but we're going to be everything else
Yeah,
as well
no.
as the
The
screen.
name is apt for the Epic.
Yeah.
And what I like too is like they talk big, about the Super AMOLED. They're like, well, it's easier to see in direct sunlight. And then they had us up on the roof in
Oh,
direct sunlight.
yeah.
Like, they didn't try to hide anything. You
Yeah.
can do it. We have four of them set up on the roof. Just check it out for yourself.
It
You
was
can
nice.
see.
They had little burgers and little,
Oh man, the food.
yeah.
I never would have thought I would be going to a Samsung event for the food. But then they bring out these little macaroni and cheese things on cheese. It was macaroni and cheese on a cheese plate.
Oh yeah, the little French fries too, the
Little
little
French fries and little cheeseburgers. Like, ooh, I'm. And then we were chasing around. There was tacos. There were tiny little, like doll tacos. And we were chasing them around, but they went away instantaneously because they were associated with margaritas. And then eventually, we got our hands on them, and it was a cruel trick on O'Rike. Because they were crab tacos and he totally hates seafood. So he was like, oh, betrayal. But then he got a microchip witch, a little ice cream sandwich on baby
Oh yeah?
cookies. Yeah.
I didn't see that.
That was the last thing we ate before we left.
Oh
That was what we
man.
were holding those sticks for.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Damn it.
So, well, yeah, but there was also phones there.
Yeah. Oh, we should also mention that I filmed the entire thing on the Samsung Galaxy S, and I put that up on YouTube so you can go and check that out if you want. It's a little bit long, but it's the entire event.
Yep.
So if you wanted to know what you were missing, you could just go
You can
check it
just
out.
see.
And you literally, I went all over the place in there. It was really nice.
I really would have thought there would have been some sort of a paradox for filming the Galaxy S with a Galaxy S. But no, yeah, the universe is intact.
The best part was the one the Sprint representative slash Samsung
Yeah.
representative. She's like, "Oh, check out this cool racing game." I'm like, "Yeah, I already played it." And she's like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, I already have the Samsung Galaxy S." And she's like, "Who do you work for?"
Oh, that's right.
I'm
Brain
like,
lazy.
"Yeah, brain lazy, madam. I assure
Everyone's
you, everyone's heard of this."
heard of brain lazy.
Yeah, so she was very nice, and hopefully, we can work out something that we can get a review unit because I would love to review it. We're gonna have the Samsung Galaxy S. We're gonna have the article up tomorrow on our
Yeah.
site. It's gonna be like stills that I took from the night, and
Sort of a
just
play-by-play of what happened during the night, and I
yeah.
don't know,
Oh
maybe you'll link the videos in there too.
yeah. We're also gonna have all the list of all the different features. I mean, from the offset, there's a couple of things that you need to know. The Samsung Galaxy S right now, the European model. Excuse me. The European model has The European model comes in either 8 gig and 16 gig, and then you can do a micro SD card expansion. The Captivate and Vibrant are 16 gig models internal, and I don't know if you can expand them. I think you can. However, the Sprint model only has the NAND, So it's only 1 gig in there, and only has a micro SD expansion. Same thing with Verizon; it's 2 gig NAND and then the expansion.
But you can get a 32 gig micro SD if you got the loot.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that Sprint issues you a 16 gig micro SD card, so technically you have 17 gigs to go. But you don't. Android 2.2 lets you write apps to the SD card. Android 2.1, you can only write to what you have in the NAND. Mm. 1 gig is more than most Android phones have, and I haven't really gone over a gig. So, I mean, for the most part, you're going to be all right. But Android 2.2 would really free up everything. So, at that point, I think the phone's going to be pretty solid.
Yeah.
That's one of the weird features. I could have sworn. Do you remember the Epic? Someone on XDA forums asked me. They said, did any of them have a notification light on the front? Because none of the Galaxies have one. But I thought I saw a green LED light on the front.
I couldn't tell. You'll have to review our video footage.
I looked through all of it. I didn't see that. But I could have sworn I saw a green LED light. And honestly, I didn't think anything of it. I just thought the front-facing camera was recording at the time. Mm-hmm. Like someone had turned it on. And I was just like, oh, okay, I guess that's what that is. But I'm relatively certain that I saw a green light. The Epic 4G, because it's slightly larger, doesn't have a smooth plastic. It's kind of like a soft touch plastic.
It's got good keyboard too. Yeah. I got to use the keyboard, and it's not like on my QWERTY keyboard, all the buttons are touching each other, so it's really easy to bridge two of them and get, you know, a random letter more or less. These had very distinct buttons and they're very tactile.
Yeah,
you could almost envision playing a game on that without any sort of adaptation.
Yeah, no, it wasn't too bad. It was nice. It was five rows of keys, so you had the numbers all by themselves.
Yeah, it was very good.
Do like a shift or an alt to get to those guys.
I'm a sucker for a QWERTY keyboard. Yeah. That's why it was my favorite. It was the star of the show for me, the Epic.
No, the Epic. Well, right now, the Epic. No, Verizon also has an LED flash on the back of that guy. But so far, like, the main differences are no front-facing camera on Verizon model, AT&T model, or T-Mobile. We have to tell you, though, that right now all these are pre-production models.
What we saw could change.
Yeah, what we saw could change. So right now what we saw, Verizon, basically Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T don't have front-facing cameras. The Sprint model does. Sprint model has basically everything, except it's getting the chopped-off extra memory inside, so you're only limited to what you can get, which is 32 gigs, which is still more than enough. But, I mean, you wouldn't be getting 48 gigs max, which is what would be available on the European models. My particular one is 8 gig internal. I slapped a 16 gig on it, so that's 24 gigs.
That's plenty.
Yeah, it's more than enough.
Because you're shooting HD video nonstop.
I was shooting HD video for a good, like, I got 25 minutes worth of HD video. I played some games in the morning on my commute to work. I played some games during work. Then I, you know, used Twitter and stuff while I was leaving. And then I filmed the entire event, and I got all the way home, and it was still good to go.
Yep.
It wasn't too bad. The battery life's pretty good on Samsung Galaxy S. Yeah, no, it was a fun event. What else were we missing?
B.O.B. performed.
Oh yeah, B.O.B. It was actually pretty good.
It was pretty good. I gotta say, I don't know that they chose the right performer, honestly. The people in the crowd were, like, executives, and, like, there was a batch of the younger generation journalists, and then there was a batch of the older generation journalists who were just there for the booze, and booze there was. So there was just a tiny swath of people who were really into it, and then a bunch of other people who were far more interested in the phones.
Yeah, I saw one old guy that had, like, a cane. Jimmy was, like, walking around, and I'm like, what are you... For whatever reason, I think of, like, tech journalists and tech blogs and stuff, so it's just, like, all people like us. So then when I see, like, you know, just older gentlemen there, it's like, I wasn't expecting it, but then I'm like, you know, he's probably you know, doing this for, like, some, you know, posh.
Yeah. He's here for the New Yorker.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
He's going to write a satire about it. Oh, yes, or technological worship. Plus, there was one guy, I loved looking at this guy, because number one, the instant I saw him, he had two drinks in his hands. He had a small one and a big one. I guess a shot and a chaser. And he had a bad come over. It looked like he hadn't slept all night. It was like he had showed up out of the 20s. I remember that, dude. You know what I mean? Like, he should have been smoking like a tiny little stub of a cigarette. I don't know. I'm like, wow, we have a visitor from the past.
It was funny too because the bad thing about the music was sensationally loud inside of this place.
It was a concert practically.
Yeah. So what happens is when I'm recording this, I had to like you know reduce the volume because otherwise it would just be as it is right now. It's really just like you know if you have a lot of audio clipping.
In
the video. Anytime that we're in like the concert part of it, but I just wanted to give you you know let you know what it was about, but. You know, it was
super freaking loud.
Yeah, it was ridiculously loud in there. So I apologize for that, but it was just you know giving you the full effect as much, the full effect as much as I could. What else from the Samsung Galaxy S? They didn't show the U.S. cellular model there,
or the cellular South, which also will be getting one. I'm told.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I looked it up. Cellular South and Sprint share the same frequencies, and they both use CDMA. So I don't know if it's possible if you can buy this U.S. cellular version and then tie it to a Sprint phone. So I'd be interested in that because, you know, the Sprint the only one that's out for Sprint is the QWERTY keyboard version. So,
yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see. Fall 2010, they said, for the U.S. cellular and whatnot.
Yeah, so let's see. Let's just do a recap. So we're going to have... The Sprint has the Epic 4G, has front-facing camera, LED LED flash on the back, potential LED notification tray, front-facing camera, QWERTY slide-out keypad, and then all the other jazz as the Samsung Galaxy S, except the truncated memory internal. Verizon has LED flash on the back, no front-facing camera, no LED flash... No, the Verizon model has LED flash on the back, no front-facing camera, and no QWERTY slide. All the rest of them are going to be candy bar form factor. And the AT&T model and T-Mobile one are basically the same thing, except the AT&T model looks like a thinner BlackBerry Storm, and the T-Mobile version looks kind of like the European model, except without the home button. I think that pretty much wraps that up.
You know, the other thing we learned, at least the other thing I learned, was apparently it's not a gyro in there. It is a different piece of technology that is functionally similar to the gyro. It's a magnet based.
Yeah.
I forget what they called it. I would have called it a magnetometer, but whatever they called it, it still senses rotation, but it does so using magnetic fields, which makes it sort of pseudo compass module like, which. In theory, if you put the right software in there, it would help you get and maintain the GPS lock better because it can give you true north. We'll see if that does or does not show up. It's not, you know, a foregone conclusion, but it's worth mentioning.
Yes, that was the Samsung Galaxy S event. We're going to have an article up tomorrow. We have the entire event on YouTube.
Already, so you can check that out.
Yeah.
Links below.
Links below. We're also going to... I'm going to be doing a full review, just showing off all the features of the Samsung Galaxy S. That'll be another video review. We'll have that up sometime later. And that's that for Samsung Galaxy S event. We can move straight on into the PlayStation Plus.
PlayStation Plus. Now, PlayStation, the PSN has been free since the start. It was sort of a big selling point. And if you want to play multiplayer on Xbox Live... You needed the Xbox Live Gold account.
Yeah.
And that cost money. PSN was free for multiplayer. But there's a lot of stuff that was costing PlayStation money. Or at least costing the publishers money.
Yeah.
Because they're distributing it and bandwidth isn't free. It's cheap, but not free. And games are big, so it eats a lot of bandwidth for each download. And since a demo is pretty much just a commercial, paying that much for a commercial that might not even be a conversion... Particularly if you happen to have a very full-featured demo, people might just play the demo a few times and decide, I got all the fun I need. PSN needed to get a Plus version. And therein lies a problem, because what features can you add? The whole reason to be on PSN, more or less, is multiplayer, and that was already free. They can't take that away. That would be just shooting themselves in the foot so bad.
Yeah, it would be.
So they had to find other stuff to give. And they came up with some good stuff. Yeah. I gotta say, I was impressed.
Yeah.
For one thing, evidently every month they're gonna have a small batch of games. That some of them are PSN games, some of them are little mini games, some of them are PS1 titles, and you'll be able to download a small subset of those games. And once you've downloaded them in that month, they're yours for as long as you're a subscriber of PSN Plus. So it's like I suppose if this goes on for a very long time, you could amass a pretty large library of downloaded games for free.
Yeah.
They cost you $50 a year.
Yeah.
What else did they put in there? You're gonna... what do you think? What's next?
Well, I want to just touch base on the GameStop, because it says limited 4 a month, right?
Limited 4 a month, yeah.
Okay, so we don't know exactly what that is. Yeah. We don't know which one are PSN, like, XBLA arcade titles. So, like, they are PS3 exclusive, or, you know, they're PSN titles. They're not for the PSP, and they're not minis, and they're not a PS1 classic. So they haven't said how many of those you get a month. There's a limit of 4, so... you have PSP minis, you might get 2 of those, and 1 PSN classic and 1 PSN title. We don't know what the arrangement is yet.
No, hasn't been specified in that regard.
We don't know that yet. Number 2, we don't know what their rotation is like. So let's say it goes for 12 months and like something starts repeating again for something, you know,
that'll
if someone missed
bogus.
It.
I didn't think about repeats.
Yeah.
And they're almost certain.
Yeah, so there's going to be, we don't know how that's going to work. However, the whole month thing, where as if you let's say you downloaded all 4 of those, right? And then the next month comes, you download all 4 of those. Technically, you know, you're renting for the long haul, and if you get the year, it's $50, but they give you 3 free months. You're basically paying for $50 for 15 months, which comes out to $3.34 a month.
3.33 repeating, of course.
Repeating, of course. you think they worked it out like that on purpose?
Yeah, it was like, well, yeah, this will be good. People will appreciate our genre savvy internet joke.
Yeah, Leroy. Someone's running through the hall. Kevin Butler's like, that's my man.
yeah, so there's that. You'll get demos. You're gonna get game demos for, you know, and betas. And early purchases. Now, I'm not sure what early purchases is. Early purchase means you get the game before anyone else can get the game, or does it just mean you can pre-download like in the Steam does?
Yeah.
So that's not really established either. Either way is neat, but I don't know if it's $50 a year neat.
You know, I can totally see it though, because you know what the problem is? Like gamers, if anything, they're predictable. Anytime that, like, I mean, just let's play this. Whenever I would get a game early on Xbox and play it on Xbox, about 5 people from my friends list would go, how are you playing that right now?
It's true.
You know what I mean? I think that's one of the advantages that Xbox has, but they're supposedly going to be updating where in the friends list, the new update, 3.4 that just came out, where you can see their, I think their trophy list easier, or their trophy score, just by highlighting their name. They don't have to go digging deeper into it. So that's pretty cool. But they really need to make it so that you can see what your friends are playing. Because I think that will be a bigger draw for them, especially that early game buying thing.
Because
if they go, well, how'd you get that game? You're like, well, I'm a PSN Plus subscriber, so if you want to buy a game early.
Yeah, it's
not,
true.
It's not that you just know some local video game merchant that, you know, releases game early. You have an avenue, clearly, to get games early in that respect. So I think that is something that more or less is a smart decision.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of predictable that way. But the demos thing, the demos is kind of weird. Because is it the time demos or is it all...
They list demos and full game trials separately. They have something called full game trials where technically you're downloading and trying the whole game, but there's a 1 hour time limit, which is makes it a demo. Yeah. Makes it a really big, long-to-download demo.
Yeah.
Unless you can try to do a speed run and beat the whole game in an hour, which would be kind of awesome. But still, it's an unusual spin on the demo that they're spinning off as a separate feature.
Yeah.
What else? Automatic downloads. This was weird. I didn't think this was... I read about what this was, and it's not what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Basically, automatic downloads means you can tell you can have your PlayStation wake up and download patches and download game demos and all that stuff, and then go back to sleep. But the patches need to be manually installed still. System updates need to be manually installed still. And that would be good, say, for that monthly thing. Oh, it's the beginning of the month. Wake up and get all my free stuff so I don't forget and not get it this month. That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
And downloading the patch but still having to install it yourself, I don't know how much time that's going to save you. I mean, if you use your thing often enough, it's not going to save you any time at all.
Yeah, no, hopefully they could fix that. I don't know how they would do if they... I don't know what they have to do. But some of the things that are... The PSN Plus is basically getting around some of the rough edges that are part of the cross-media bar interface, their OS, PS3's OS, so to speak. The problem is really... When Microsoft made their marketplace, when they were designing the Xbox 360, they took a look at the Xbox and they said, we want to sell shorter arcade games, like XBLA games. They were really just planning like arcade ports, all those other stuff. I didn't think they expected where XBLA was going to go now.
Yeah.
I think they thought it was going to be like little games that you play casually, not like something like there would be a separate long game that you would play. But Microsoft said, okay, if we want this... let's not just show video or pictures of it. Let's let every game be a trial, and the developer can decide when that trial is over. Every game in XBLA actually ends whenever the developer wants them to. It's not time-based. It's not anything else. It's actually just a little flag that says if this game's a trial or not. So the trial game and the real game are exactly the same. The problem with how Sony did it was they never really, I guess, thought about it too much because... They didn't really have any trial games. They just bought it or looked at a video, a preview video, or pictures, and that was all you had to go by. So you just bought it, and whatever resulted of it was it. This time demo thing that they have, I guess, is something that they added on top of it. So the PSN Plus is going to be kind of like monitoring what you're doing with this particular software. And every time you play it, it'll go for exactly 1 hour and kill itself.
Yeah.
So it's nothing that the developer really wanted to do. It's longer than the developer probably even wants to give you, because you probably go two or three stages in. Some like the Impossible Game for the Xbox Indie Game, you can keep on playing and failing. It actually ends at one specific point.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, there's a red line, an actual vertical red line that once you cross it, the demo's over.
Yeah, exactly. So and then all you do is when you download the license, it basically unlocks the game and removes that flag, and then you're good to go. So the PSN Plus is really kind of like, more or less, the one good redeeming feature of it is the free games thing. It's not really free games, you're just renting. But yeah,
they go away when you quit, so.
Yeah, they leave when you quit, but it's...
It's a huge impetus to hang on to the subscription, I'll tell
you
that. No,
it is, because, I mean, imagine being on there for 15 months, you paid $50 for 15 months, and you have, 60 games. You have 60 games.
Potentially.
If there's no repeat. So you have 60 games in 15 months for $50.
And you're like, do I re-up? I re-up? And you look at your library, you're like, I'm going to re-up.
Yeah, so then you re-up and you pay $50. Now you've more than secured 120 games as long as you keep on. I mean, potentially, I wonder how many games you are on there. I wonder how long it would take for you to be a PSN Plus subscriber before you've completely rented their entire service and you have every game on there. Because it might be a cheap way to go. But then, back to what I said, we don't know they might have months where you're just getting minis. There might be months where you're just getting PS1 classics.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it would be kind of cool. PS1 classics are still good. It's still good times. I'm not really... That's the one redeeming feature of this entire thing. And it actually makes up for it. I really like it. I wish that Microsoft would do something like this, where you could pay, extra on top of the live thing and have... platinum or diamond, I don't care what the hell they do, just something where you can start just instead of paying games, every XBLA game was renting. You can rent every game that was on their service. So now anyone that has an Xbox, you just pay whatever, $10, $15 a month, and now if you want to play with someone, you say just download the game. And then now we can play.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, if it was the entire catalog, which potentially would be the result of being on PSN Plus long enough.
Yeah, if you're on long enough.
That would be, that would definitely be worth the money.
Yeah.
Because it's a gigantic catalog for XBLA. Yeah. And worth pointing out, for those full game trials, they say that 1 hour is the default, and that you can adjust that. I would presume a lot of people would be adjusting it shorter than an hour. But maybe somebody out there would be nice and give you 6 hours. And then you're just like hardcore playing the game trying to beat it. That'd be hilarious.
So I guess that leads into one other important thing.
Yes.
You need PSN Plus if you want to be able to use Hulu Plus.
Yeah, Hulu Plus will be added, but only for PSN Plus subscribers.
Yeah, so let's go on to our next segment, which would be Hulu Plus.
Hulu Plus. Now, Hulu was changing television.
Yes.
Because lots and lots and lots of people were looking at it online. Like, you know, let's just say that Hulu probably destroyed some productivity in some of the less monitored office complexes.
Yeah.
By having everybody watch the back episodes of House when they should have been doing, you know, filing. But, you know, basically it was getting so successful that the TV companies who were backing it were like, crap, we're damaging ourselves. We're making this too good. So they decided they had to come with some way to not infuriate their current users, but get more money out of the users that really want full service. So they came with Hulu Plus. $10 a month.
Yeah, not too bad.
$10 a month is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's $9 a month for Netflix.
Yeah.
And you will get, for a large list of shows, you'll have full season. You can watch the full season, every episode of the season. For a smaller subset of the shows, you can watch the entire back catalog. X-Files was on that list.
Yeah.
Which is good. There are still commercials.
Yeah, there's still commercials, which is kind of...
it's a little strange.
Sucky. I mean, if you consider Netflix in there, because now Netflix doesn't show commercials.
No, Netflix shows you what was on the DVD. So, and Netflix, technically, if you're going for the cheapest one that you can do the internet, is one penny less per month. We'll ignore that for now.
No, but, you know, it's important noting that, it seems like they have a huge, huge catalog that you can, you know, watch from. They have SNL, the last five seasons of SNL, the first five seasons of SNL. I don't know about in between. But
there was a lot of bad seasons of SNL.
Yeah.
Charles Rocket comes to mind. Anyone out there know Charles Rocket? I think he's dead now. I shouldn't talk about him. If you don't care about Charles Rocket, he was terrible on that show. Worst Weekend Update ever.
Oh, yeah.
There's the guy who was Sweet Chuck from Police Academy was on the cast for a while. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
She wasn't good on that show, but she was good on other shows.
Yeah.
Anyhow, yeah. Lots of stuff to be had.
Yeah, no, they do have a lot of stuff. It is only $10. I think the really redeeming quality is, you know, actually Netflix is doing that too, but it seems like they're going to... I think Hulu is going to be good competition for Netflix. Because they're saying, okay, now we're going to be on Samsung TVs, we're going to be on iPhone, iPad, iTouch, we're going to be on Blu-ray players. Basically, they're doing the same thing that Netflix has been doing and pushing themselves on every console. But right now, Netflix is on PS3, Xbox, the Wii, they're on some TVs, yep. They're on Blu-ray players already. So, I mean, they're already a step ahead of Hulu.
There's going to be a new thing showing up next to the Netflix icon on a lot of devices, basically.
Yeah.
And as a long-time Netflix subscriber, that is, I'm not sure that Hulu is really known for their movie catalog. They have movies. I've watched movies. I watched The Big Lebowski on Hulu.
I thought they were only TV shows.
They might have gone away, but there was a time when there were movies on Hulu. Someone can fact-check me on this. And Netflix will beat the pants off of Hulu on movies. It's just the way it is. So it's what kind of a viewer are you? Do you want the newer shows? Because you're not going to find the newest shows on Netflix. You can only get the stuff that showed up on DVD, and it's going to be at least a season back.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to catch up on recent episodes, Hulu is the only way. And if you're more than five episodes behind, you're basically going to be forced to do Hulu Plus if you want to do it.
Yeah.
So there's a market. And putting it on all the devices is good. Now I understand why they were working so hard to keep Hulu off of devices.
Yeah.
It's because they wanted to make you pay for it. How nice of them.
I mean, but whatever. What is nice about Hulu and Netflix is essentially this is how I think all media should be eventually going. You look at Zune Pass and it's $15, and you realize it's $10 too much. Because especially if you compare Netflix and Hulu to it, Hulu's TV shows and it's $10, and those should be more than music. You know, the production cost of making TV and movies is just much, much higher than it is for making music.
It's true.
You know, independent people can make very good music. Independent people have a hard time making very good TV shows and movies. You need good production values to make stuff that visually is good. Where it's just audio, you don't have, you know, you're chopping off a whole big section that you don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
So I think that this is a good thing. I think that when people start seeing all people starting to attach themselves to these subscription services, never-ending subscription services, where, you know, maybe it's not such a good idea that we're trying to, like, you know, sell them this one CD at $15. How about we just have them, you know, give them every music, and they'll just pay $5 a month for the rest of their life? And I think that's an easier thing to swallow.
It's true.
Yeah. If you know, if $5 a month is nothing, you know, but I think people can see the value in that.
And I gotta say this too. A lot of people are like, especially the ones like, you know, the PSN or any subscription service where you lose the library if you stop subscribing. I'll put it this way: would you pay for XM? Right? There are people with XM and Sirius, you know, satellite radio. You pay for that, right? Because it's got a huge selection. Well, by paying for a subscription service for TV shows or music, you're getting a huge selection that's also on demand.
Yeah.
So it's like paying for satellite, it's like paying for cable, it's like paying for satellite radio, except you get to choose what you're going to watch and when.
Yeah.
So there is, I mean, if you look at it that way, it's a gigantic bargain.
Yeah,
it's so much nicer.
It is.
Hulu, and funny as it is to say, even though they're sort of putting the price in there to make more money and to make free TV more attractive, what they're really going to start infuriating are the cable providers.
Yeah.
Because you're going to start taking, I mean, there's not a lot of cable associated with Hulu. But, this is going to be a more attractive alternative to streaming content providers for television and such.
Well, I think the real thing that, see, this is the problem. It's always a problem. You look at the music industry and how much they've been fighting piracy, and not just trying to embrace digital distribution, but actually actively fighting it. Like, no, we don't want this. We want to continue with our old way.
Yeah.
Keep selling CDs or whatever medium comes out that is physical that we can sell and push on to people. And I think, you know, cable companies and now Verizon and whoever else wants to be an ISP or, you know, pushing TV to you, I think that they should realize that you should just dump all of your TV channels and just become a full ISP. And that, I mean, you will be the delivery medium for this digital content.
Yeah.
So you're still going to get paid. What does it matter if, you know, you're not getting, yeah, sure, you're not getting it for the TV and such, but, you know, I wouldn't mind tiers for amount of service. So capacity tiers, speed tiers. And I think that, you know, there's different people that will pay for different amounts. There's different people that pay for less amount of channels and more amount of channels. And if you had people that wanted, like, had a full house and you're playing, you know, real-time games, real-time streaming on everything, and you have more than five boxes in your house, you're going to need a faster pipe. So what the cable companies really need to do is decide, okay, HD content requires 2 megabits. If they have 2 megabits, you know, say it can, you can do HD content kind of okay on 2 TVs, but anything more than that, you're going to need more bandwidth. So you have your first tier at 2 megabit. Then you have, you know, whatever and whatever and whatever. You keep on going down like that until, you know, you have super fast stuff where everyone in the house can, you know, stream whatever they want.
Yeah.
This is how they should do it. They're not going to.
They're not going to.
They're
going to,
you know, fight and lobby and do as much as they can so that they can still pushing TV that's, you know, based around their time, not your time. And, I mean, just think about this. Hulu and Netflix, not Netflix, they hired, they're looking for Android developers. So now Android's going to be getting Netflix. iPad has Netflix. iPhone is going to have Netflix. Xbox. Everything's going to have Netflix. Anything that you want, any device that you have, is going to be able to get Netflix. So you don't need a cable box. Whatever device you're going to have is going to be able to receive that. So, I don't know.
Plus, you know, Android is Linux-based.
Yeah.
Which means if Android gets Netflix, Linux gets Netflix. Yeah. Even if they don't intend it to, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you, here's my argument. Here's my argument for why content providers should embrace a subscription model or a digital version over physical. If I get a CD and I'm done listening to it, I can give it to you.
Yep.
I don't have to make a copy either. Let's say I'm sick of this CD. Here, have a CD. Now he has the CD and I don't have a CD anymore. But he didn't buy it. You can't do that with a subscription model. You can't say, oh, here, listen to this music that I subscribe to. You can't. Same thing with books. Why are they fighting so hard against e-books? Because, I mean, I can give you my book. Libraries. Holy crap. How do libraries exist? You know what I mean? It's like, you should, if you want to take money away from the consumer and give them a better product, why are you considering anything but a subscription process? Doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
But whatever. If any of you executives are out there, we know. We were talking to executives at that event. They were very interested. Especially that guy, when we were leaving.
Yeah.
You caught the ear of a Samsung rep when he was like doing market research. Oh, yeah, so the iPhone, you say. Niche market eventually? Memo.
Yeah, I don't know about that. kind of disgusts me.
This is sort of a podcast moment. Our secret friends, the podcast listeners, hearing disgust over the iPhone 4 still.
So I guess that's it, right?
That's it. We covered our three topics.
All right. All right, so that was this week. Thanks for watching.
Thank you.